I can afford will be far better than this. I can't get down there, I won't get down and stay all night with him. For the girl I have in that merry Greenland, I love far better than this.
Sandra Lee, everybody. Henry Lee by old Dick Justice. It's Brian Vinny Show, everybody. It is the 6th of March, 2013, here at figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. We are here with the Brian and Vinny Show. We got Raw SmackDown. And I tell you all this. I tried, honest to God, I tried to find The Marine 3 starring The Miz on Netflix. Very badly wanted to watch Miz play Badass Marine. Failed! Does not appear that it's on there. So therefore, in lieu of watching The Marine 3, we watched NXT. Now I really want to see The Marine 3.
It has to be better than this.
This was not the best television show I've ever seen. I know some people really like NXT. I know the idea that you get to see a lot of youngsters just getting started. It's just wrestling. There's no goofy... I can't say there's no goofy angles. We saw Emma. Not too much goofiness. But it's a wrestling show. It's a wrestling show with green guys and gals.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's some interesting stuff because you get to see new faces. And quite frankly, on this show, the most exciting thing on the show was not a new face at all. It was when the Shield ran at the end. That was like the highlight of the entire show. So we're going to tell you about that here on the program. And that'll be that. But first off, sad note, obviously. Paul Bearer's passed away. Very sad. Did you ever talk to Paul Bearer, Vinny?
I was not lucky enough to do that.
Mm. Paul Bearer was a good guy. He was a good guy.
I don't listen to a lot of your shows, but I listen to his.
Yeah.
He was great.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. He was on the show many times, and he was always just really nice, you know? Some guys, I mean, everyone's pretty much nice, you know? Been very few shows where I've interviewed someone, and it was like, wow, what a dick, you know? Everyone's usually pretty nice, but Paul Bearer was particularly nice. He was one of those guys that was just... really loved wrestling, really wanted to talk to wrestling or talk about wrestling with you. Like talking about angles, like talking about his history. He's a humble man, but knew he'd done some stuff. And also was well aware that he did a lot of stuff that was very wacky. And he was not afraid to, he wasn't someone that would go like, no, the feud with Edge, it was great. He acknowledged it, that it was not the best thing he'd ever done. But he laughed about it. And it's very sad to see him go. He'd had a lot of health problems. I think over the last couple of years, the health problems had gotten worse. I talked to somebody a few hours ago, that had seen him recently. And Paul Bearer had canceled a lot of various bookings and stuff. He'd been in kind of not the best of health. And apparently gained a lot of weight lately. And I don't know what happened. I don't know. I mean, obviously, when you've had health problems for a long time, had problems with obesity, you know, it's not exactly a surprise that you pass away at 59. But I think a large part of it also was that he lost his wife.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where that was probably like the real beginning of the end for him. And it sucks. But, you know, I don't know. Now he's not worrying about that sort of stuff anymore. So that's the best I can say. But I will miss Paul Bearer. I'll miss doing shows with him. In fact, I think Dave and I were... Dave and I were talking about, when's the last time we saw Paul Bearer? And it was like, was it Cauliflower Alley this past year? Or was it Cauliflower Alley last year? We couldn't remember if it was this year or the year prior. And right now I'm remembering, I'm 99% positive that it was this past year. Because now I remember talking to him, and we were deciding that we were going to do a show together, which I did not do. Sucks. And it's not the first time that's happened. Made a couple of shows with people that I was going to do a show with them, you know. Everyone knows how it goes. Yeah, I'll be in touch. I'll be in touch. This, that. And then you're not. And then you find out that they pass away. Gary Hart. Gary Hart, I never had on this show. And talked to Court Bauer. Got me all the info for Gary Hart. I got in touch with Gary. And we were going to do the show, but something happened. I think he was going to do something involving his book. He wanted to delay it a little bit. So we ended up delaying it. And then he ended up passing away. No good. And Sir Oliver Humperdinck was another one we were going to do a show together. And he ended up passing away. So it's tough doing this, everybody. Sure you're well aware, being a fan. It sucks, but what can you do? So anyway, this show is dedicated to Paul Bearer, Vinny. So not to put the pressure on you or anything, but make it a good one.
I'm sorry, Paul. I apologize beforehand.
Paul would laugh at that one.
He would laugh
if he knew I dedicated a show to him and put it in your hands.
Yes, yes. The last thing I'll say about this is just a quick note that the news has blown up my Facebook wall, many of whom are not wrestling fans.
Yeah.
He had a level of fame that transcended the people who pay money to listen to us talk. He knew he had done some stuff. He was a big star.
Yeah.
He had done a lot of shit.
Yeah.
So
I love a guy that, like, I told this story on the Observer show today. I'm telling in the newsletter. It's one of those stories that I'll probably tell forever. But I loved that Paul Bearer was a real-life mortician.
Yeah.
And then he went to pro wrestling, and he got the gimmick of a mortician. And then, when he got out of wrestling, when his main WWE gig was over, he went back to being a mortician. And I remember asking him, like, you know, surely someone has come up to you and said, oh my God, are you Paul Bearer? And in fact, that did happen to him on occasion. And he said it was great because being a mortician is about more than just the dirty work. You know, you're dealing with people.
Yeah.
And these people they're grieving. They're going through a hard time. Tragedy has struck. And one of the things that he loved about his job was trying to make people in some way feel better. And he loved when people recognized him because that was one of those things where all of a sudden, wow, you know, yeah, I am in the midst of tragedy here, but oh my God, Paul Bearer he's the mortician here. And it made people feel better. And I'll always remember that story. You know, a guy who, I'm sure Paul Bearer made a lot of money, but he had something outside of wrestling that he loved, and he just went back to doing it so that he could help people. And a good guy, like I said, a good guy. So anyway, we'll have more on Paul Bearer. I'm sure we'll be talking about him with a lot of people over the next couple of weeks. And, you know, hasn't really hit yet in the sense that someone passes away and you're like, oh my God. But then like a few days later, everyone's writing stuff, saying stuff. You're asking everybody about him. And there'll be a lot more talk about Paul Bearer in the coming days. And obviously an Observer bio and that sort of thing. So you can all head up and check that out. And Dave and I did a audio earlier tonight. Check that out. And that's it for my my plugs. Let's get on with this show, Vinny. SmackDown from Friday night.
SmackDown from Friday night. This one's for you, Paul.
That's right. Paul was the king of SmackDown for a while there.
He was, actually.
Yeah.
Well, this show had no king. Actually, I don't remember what happened on this show. I watched it on Saturday.
I swear to God, I watched this show on Friday night. And later Friday night, I couldn't remember a thing about it.
Okay. Yep. Yep. SmackDown, everyone. So Alberto Del Rio versus Damian Sandow. Damian made fun of Ricardo's spit bucket. Del Rio responded by saying that Damian's breath smelled like caca.
Aha.
I'm watching a TV show for eight-year-olds.
Yep. Actually, I'd rather be watching Saturday Morning Slam.
Ooh, good point. It was social media SmackDown, so they were putting fans' tweets on the screen. There's a much better tweet on Raw, but we'll get to that. But somebody here, one of the fans twittering about this, mentioned We the People. I give up. I'm just wrong. Clearly, I am just wrong.
Has anyone held up a sign that said, weed the people yet?
I have not seen it.
Wow. I just now came up with that. I can't be the first one.
No, you're not.
Okay.
You're the 501st.
Okay, just check.
First person on this show, to be fair. So, they had a usual SmackDown. As usual for SmackDown, they had a house show match. Longer than it needed to be, and the bigger star gets the clean one at the end. And Damian tried his neck breaker, and Del Rio turned it into the armbar and won. And he got a backstage promo saying he was going to let the fans pick his opponent for next week. We had a CM Punk highlight video from Raw. Bryan and Kane had a wacky meeting, and they're going to do a rematch with the Primetime Players, but this time Kane will be wearing the blindfold, and Bryan would have one arm tied behind his back. Miz versus Antonio Cesaro in a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Yeah.
They're not even hiding about the fact that their roster is stretched terribly thin. They're just telling guys, go wrestle 3 times.
This match was so long.
They announced that, well, they didn't announce it. Cesaro came out and he is no longer waving the American flag. And the reason he is no longer waving the flag, according to Michael Cole, this is a direct quote from the mouth of the play-by-play announcer of WWE SmackDown. Nobody was paying attention.
What?
That's what he said. That's why Antonio is no longer waving the flag. Nobody was paying attention. It wasn't getting over, is what they said.
I see.
Yeah. So Lawler said the most important thing about this. He said there's nothing more important than winning the first fall. What about the third fall? So Cesaro won with a neutralizer. And it's one of those things. It was only the first fall of a 3-fall match, but we need more finishes like this because Cesaro had the heat. He had some moves and Miz kicked out of one, and then Antonio just picked him up, hit him with his finisher, and won.
That was like the ROH high pay-per-view when they did the best of 3 falls. The first fall went, I think, 2 minutes. It's very quick.
This wasn't terribly quick. This went a while. I'm just talking about how the finish itself was. You don't need 400 near falls and comebacks and counters
right.
and everything. Just
That's
have
right.
a guy hit a bunch of moves and fucking win.
But I do have to say that even when I was a little kid, the one thing I hated about the Survivor Series was when a dude got pinned with a suplex. Like, really?
He didn't get pinned with a suplex. He got pinned with his finisher.
Well, sure.
Yes, getting pinned by the suplex sucks. So Miz won the second fall, all of which happened during the break.
Yeah.
They said you could get the app if you wanted to watch the second fall. I didn't.
That's how they're trying to sell the app. If you want to see the second fall of this match with The Miz,
yes.
get our app.
If you want.
Oh, man. Let me go to the app
Miz
store
in
right
life.
Now.
Yeah. So eventually it went back and forth, and finally Cesaro got the win with the O'Connor roll while holding the trunks. It was, to be fair, it was a pretty good match all in all, but, you know, it was just long. JBL sent in a tout while claiming a mountain in South America. He plugged his charity. Sheamus approached Randy Orton, said, you got a match with the Big Show. Shield will come out and kick your ass. Want me to watch your back? And Orton said, sure. We got what I actually thought in my heart, really truly believed, was going to be the last Fandango promo.
Oh, Vinny.
I was so wrong.
What an idiot.
I was so wrong.
So the spoilers are for.
I was so wrong. Still, I knew what happened with him on the show, but I thought they would air this one promo, then he'd come out and do his bit, and then he'd just be, it'd move on. But no.
I tell you something about these Fandango promos. I also hate them. I would accept a Fandango promo on every show for the rest of 2013 if I could avoid Fandango coming out and droning on and on about how his name is mispronounced. That is the ultimate, absolute ultimate go-away heat, that character.
It's awfully stupid.
It sucks.
So, Jim Ross interviewed Swagger and Coulter. They talked about the losing streak Swagger was on before he disappeared. They blamed his losing streak on illegal immigrants. I laughed.
Sure.
Finally, they decided Jim Ross was not a real American. He was a sympathizer. They started to bully him. Del Rio came out to make the save. Del Rio, the same man who said caca in the first part of the show, here he called Swaggery a jackass.
So like a Mexican sympathizer or just an immigrant sympathizer?
They say immigrants because they didn't like Wade Barrett either. That's it.
Us illegal immigration from the Atlantic?
Apparently. It's not. Well, they just say illegal immigrants, but yeah, they don't want foreigners coming here and taking American jobs. That's their approach. They asked fans to tweet for Dolph Ziggler, Wade Barrett, or Antonio Cesaro to wrestle Del Rio next week. We got the primetime players versus Team Hell No. They were plugging Sonic Drive-Thru.
Yeah, it's funny about that poll to who gets to face Alberto Del Rio next week. It's like they want the fans to vote on a guy. And the winner, obviously, is somebody the fans want to see. So he wins a match that he's then going to lose.
Yeah.
It's like Dolph Ziggler won. What does that tell you? Well, people like Dolph Ziggler. People want to see Dolph Ziggler get this match. So they continue to beat Dolph Ziggler left and right, including, no, everyone, this is not a spoiler. Alberto Del Rio beats Dolph Ziggler.
Yes.
Hello? I don't get it. There's something, all I know, I don't know what's going on, but I was given the impression that something's up. I don't know what that is. But Dolph is losing a lot of matches. He didn't even get a ring entrance. So I don't know what's happening, but I think something's up.
So the announcers here are plugging Sonic Drive-Thru food, and someone had the bright idea to take Jerry Lawler, a man who literally died of a heart attack on live TV not that long ago, and put a tray of fried food in front of him.
Yeah.
Poor taste. So they had this match. Goofy comedy where Kane with a blindfold was accidentally beating the heels up. He chokeslammed Darren Young, but then couldn't find him to pin him. So Brian tagged in, and Kane nearly chokeslammed him, but he felt Brian's beard. And eventually, Titus rolled at Brian and pinned him. So Kane was mad. He took off his blindfold. And that was when Kane saw that the blindfold he had been wearing had a goat face on it. Ha, ha, ha!
Speaking of the kids' show.
Brian said, it wasn't me. He asked for a hug. And Kane put the blindfold on him and punched him and left.
So, on Raw, the whole story of the match was their buddies.
Sure.
So where's the show that I missed between this and Monday? Did I miss something on Saturday Morning Slam that's taped weeks in advance? I doubt it.
I don't know.
When did Brian and Kane befriend each other?
I don't know. It's just a little punch. You can get over it. He deserved it. He had to come and he played a joke on Kane. Kane got back at him by punching him in the face. Stryker interviewed Big Show. He announced it was WrestleMania season, and he was going to make a statement by chokeslamming Randy Orton.
What a statement that would be.
You don't need to hit that move on somebody every show.
Sure.
Jericho, via Skype from Australia, plugged WWE, Fozzy, and Robot Combat League, saying it was more entertaining than Michael Cole. That is debatable.
Bury Michael Cole. What do you mean it's debatable? Robot Combat League. Oh, we missed it tonight. Oops.
It was so entertaining you forgot about it.
Forgot it was on. That's what you get, everyone, for not tweeting me to watch it tonight like you did last week. Oh, you know what? That's what that was.
Huh?
Somebody tweeted me about how fake the sparks were. And I had no idea what he was talking about till just now.
I see.
Let me read this tweet. I was completely 100% in the dark. Where is it here? I was just minding my own business, you know? And someone tweeted, these sparks are more gimmicked than Honky Tonk's guitar. And I was like, huh. At first I was like, why would there be sparks on the Ultimate Fighter? I couldn't figure it out for the life of me. Now I get it. Yeah, we forgot Robot Combat League. Sorry, Chris Jericho. I wonder if Lance watched it or if he forgot as well.
Well, it is interesting because I think I remember hearing that one of the times Jericho left WWE, he was upset they wouldn't let him plug his other side projects.
And here this one was at least on something that...
it was their network.
Yes.
His band's not. He got to plug that. Plugged everything. They aired another fucking Fandango promo. I'll be airing these to the end of time. And finally, he showed up on television. He had a hottie. They did their dance. He repeated his name several times. He takes a long time to say it. He tries to coach people on how to say it. People can't say it. And so he gets angry and he leaves. And yeah, it sucked. It was worse than I feared, frankly. But I will say this. This is a business where 10 years after Steve Austin retired, fans will still chant "what" at people. Stupid shit gets over sometimes.
So you're expecting... I'm not going to even try.
No.
This to get over?
I wouldn't say I'm expecting it. I would say it'd be no more stupid than "what" getting over.
That was a catchphrase by a verified, certified megastar.
Yes, it was.
This is Johnny Curtis. Stupid. And a random hottie, as you referred to her.
Yeah.
In a very sexist way.
How dare you?
No, it's a gimmick.
I'm with you. I never want to see it again. It is absolutely not worth the buildup.
Like I said yesterday, I'll admit it. I thought that Damian Sandow was a one-trick pony, and he has overachieved with this gimmick. Do I expect Fandango to overachieve? No. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong.
They announced that Dolph won the voting with 51% of the vote. Barrett and Antonio were basically tied. So it's Dolph versus Del Rio next week, and Dolph does not win. Main event, Randy Orton versus Big Show. They did a match. It was the only notable thing was that Orton hit his elevated DDT on Big Show, who's, you know, the giant. Then he did it again on Raw. So if you saw it on Raw, you don't need to see it here. So Shield came out to beat up Orton. Sheamus came down to stand beside him, but Big Show was still taken out, so it was still 3-on-2. So Shield jumped them, and they overwhelmed them or beating them up. Crowd was chanting, "Feed me more." They wanted Ryback to even the odds, but he never did. And finally, Big Show got to his feet, and he punched out Reigns. And Ambrose and Rollins froze, and they were terrified. And they grabbed him. They got the hell out of Dodge. Reigns had actually recovered from being knocked out and was pointing at Show and screaming. That kind of annoyed me. But everyone stared the Shield down, and then Orton turned around and Show chokeslammed him as promised, and then Sheamus bro-kicked Show, and the announcers were screaming about chaos, and then it ended.
What a message sent for WrestleMania that chokeslam was.
Yep, I chokeslammed a dude. Whew.
Yeah, that show was lackluster. That was a lackluster show.
Most of what they do these days is lackluster.
Well, should we play a song here to lighten the mood?
That's a good idea.
What have I got here? What have I got here? Let's see. Been a while since I've played this tune. It's a Briscoe song. Let's play it and see how it sounds.
Point to match when we start giving them a real thorough ass whooping.
That's no lie. We spent the night
in Philly. ROH's homecoming.
From that night.
I knew the shit was getting ready to go down.
Don't blame it
on Mike Quackenbush.
Don't blame it on me.
300,000 chickens.
Don't blame it on
great big ass grasshopper.
Blame it on
fine honey with a fat ass.
Don't blame it on
tag team champions, them boys.
Don't blame it on
Jigsaw and Holloway.
Don't blame it on
Cockburn Doomba.
Blame it on a
black pelican looking some bitch shaking this big ass stick.
Reach for the sky, boy.
That's the Briscoes.
The Briscoes.
You didn't see the iPay-per-view, did you?
I did not see the iPay-per-view.
My God, the beards on the Briscoes.
I did see their promo for the IPA. I think it was for that show. But the promo you put on the front page from the Briscoes. Amazing men. Just amazing.
There's something else. I need to get them on the show again before the WrestleMania weekend.
Yes.
Swing.
Yes. We need to do a live show with them from New York.
Oh, man. I wouldn't survive that.
That's true.
I wouldn't survive that.
That's true. They would get you drinking and they would kill you.
Well, let's get going on Raw.
I suppose.
For the moment.
Raw was old school. Yeah, the retro introduction and all the graphics.
Showed it a shockingly huge rating, by the way.
People like the
really
old dudes.
The people this interested in old school Raw?
Yeah. Yes.
Is that what it was?
The answer is yes. Hmm. The they used the old school graphics, and I think the deal was that in this particular graphic set, you'd have the guy's name, that underneath would be his hometown. Only for some reason, they didn't want to put the hometown there, so it just said Superstar for everyone.
Yes.
Got annoying very quickly.
Just to remind you that they are, in fact, superstars.
Or occasionally Hall of Famer. So Undertaker just came out. That's all he did. And he did his symbol where he raises the lights, but instead they just put the WrestleMania graphic on the screen, and that was it. So I'm going to summarize the next segment very quickly. Punk came out and said he wanted a match with Undertaker. Orton came out and said he wanted a match with Undertaker. Big Show came out and said he wanted a match with Undertaker. Sheamus came out and said he wanted a match with Undertaker. And Vicky came out and said there would be a four-way, and one of you is getting the match.
That about covers it.
Okay. I did like when Randy Orton said in his WrestleMania match against Taker in 2005, he said he was a rookie in that match.
A rookie, you say?
He was actually a year removed from being the world heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Antonio Cesaro wrestled Ryback. Went 1,000 years. Nobody cared. I did like Antonio's inset where he said, I speak 5 languages and Ryback only speaks 1. Neanderthal!
That's what he said. That was a great line.
That was awesome. So, no one cared about this. The finish was actually really awesome. Ryback's going through his comeback. And he's going for the clothesline out of the corner. And Antonio cuts him off with a European uppercut. And he goes through the neutralizer. But Ryback turned that into the shell shock and won. It was actually a hell of a finish. So Ryback wins. He's not the U.S. champion, by the way. Even though he's an American who beat Antonio. But as he's going up the ramp...
I think he's beat him 16 times in the kind of title match yet.
He probably has.
Standards are high for championship matches in WWE.
I suppose so. So Ryback is leaving. Mark Henry comes out for the next match. They had a stare down on the ramp.
I thought this was great.
Mark Henry's awesome. But yeah, it was two big, scary, angry dudes staring at each other and deciding not to back down, but deciding we're not going to fight right now. And then Mark Henry got in the ring and he squashed Zack Ryder.
I cannot wait for Mark Henry versus the Ryback at WrestleMania. That's a mean guy match.
That is the ultimate mean guy match.
It's going to be ugly as hell.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
You realize Ryback's going to get booed out of the stadium.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably.
That'd be epic. So, Zack Ryder, by the way, for reasons I cannot fathom, he got new gear. That seems like just a complete waste of money. I mentioned Twitter during SmackDown. The tweet of the week in WWE was during this match when Shawn Michaels, yes, that Shawn Michaels, demanded that somebody on old school Raw come out with a mullet.
Yeah.
He didn't get it.
You know that Vince is on Twitter now.
I am following Vince.
Are you really? I'm not. I should probably go up there and do that.
Well, last I checked, he actually had not tweeted anything.
I was going to say, has he done a thing yet?
Not to my knowledge, no. You may want to check on that, see if there's been an update.
Let's find out.
I'm also following Cranky Vince, of course.
I'm following Cranky Vince. All right. It's not CEO Vince McMahon, is it? What the hell? Is it at Vince McMahon?
It's just at Vince McMahon.
It's not on Google yet. How about that? All right, I'll find it. You go on.
Got a fucking Fandango promo. I don't even know what to say anymore. Miz versus Dolph Ziggler.
0 tweets.
Yeah.
15,000 followers. He's already got more followers than me. It's unacceptable.
He also has more money than you.
At Vince McMahon hasn't, was he buying the tweets? Is that it? Buying the followers, which you can do, actually.
Is that also unacceptable?
At Vince McMahon hasn't tweeted yet. That's hilarious. Vince McMahon, chairman and CEO of WWE Incorporated, is a third-generation promoter who has made WWE into the global phenomenon it is today. Following 23.
That's actually more fascinating.
Ah, damn it. I got to sign
in. Who is on Twitter that Vince is following?
I got to sign in order to find out. Hopefully that's my password. There we go. And now I'm gone. Oh, you son of a gun. All right. Let's see who he's following here. All right. This is already awesome. The first person he's following, Donald J. Trump.
Yep.
Second, Triple H.
Okay.
I gotta read some of his tweets, actually. I don't follow any of these people. WWE Auctions. Yeah.
Okay.
Howard Finkel.
Wow.
Okay, this is outstanding. Vince is following the WWE Network, which is described as a brand new day for watching the greatest matches, moments, and superstars in sports entertainment history is coming in 2012.
Oh, is it?
With the launch of WWE Network.
Oh, how about that?
He's following the WWE Insider. He is following Sheamus. He's following WWE's Greatest Matches. He's following WWE Investor. He's following Stand Up for WWE, WWE Classics, God. WWE Magazine, AJ Lee, NXT, Jim Ross, WWE Music Group, CM Punk, Zack Ryder,
no,
The Miz, John Cena, the WWE Universe, WWE WrestleMania, and the WWE Twitter. That is who he is following.
I'm absolutely blown away he's following Zack Ryder.
I wonder if he's following... He may be following more people than me. Oh, nope, I'm following more. 28. Although I probably could pare those down a little bit. I'm not sure if I need to still follow the Impact Crow.
I'll leave that up to you.
I am a crow, it says. You may know me from Impact Wrestling, where I made Bischoff my bitch. Let's move on.
I am following Common Bird on Twitter.
Mm.
He tweets things like chirp and regurgitate to feed young.
Okay. Twitter is a waste of time.
You say so.
Although you all need to follow me, because that's how you'll find out when to ask questions for people on the radio show, at Brian Alvarez. All right.
Suppose let's talk about Miz now. He wrestled Dolph Ziggler. For the second week in a row, Miz started with a dead mic. That can't be a coincidence.
That is correct, yes.
That cannot be a coincidence. He brought out Ric Flair. He spent the first part of the match all taking turns strutting and wooing at each other. So for the past couple of months, maybe back to the first of the year, Dolph's been using this cool jumping DDT where he just jumps up and grabs the guy's head and lands in a DDT. And he's been doing this to, I think he made it into Big Show, but he's been using it to like Kane and a bunch of big men who's jumped up and grabbed their head and fallen down. It's always looked cool. So he's in there with Miz, who is the same size, and Miz became the first person to fuck this move up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Big E interfered. In perhaps the highlight of Raw, Ric Flair, a million billion times in his life, has attacked a larger man with chops and punches and had the guy no-sell it, and then Flair has backed away in fear. So he did that here. He lit into Big E Langston with chops and punches, and Big E just stared at him. And then when Big E started to stalk him down, Flair threw up his hands and panicked and ran for his life. And the fans witnessed this blatant act of cowardice and roared their approval.
Yes.
So Miz kicked Big E Langston, and then shortly thereafter, he put Dolph in the figure four and won.
Ric Flair is...
the best man ever.
He's very amazing.
He is stupendous.
He's a very amazing man.
He got in the ring with Miz to celebrate this win. He celebrated this win by doing a flop, to which Jerry Lawler replied, quote, I don't know why he did that.
Because he's Ric Flair.
That's correct. If you were Ric Flair, you would understand too.
We need more Ric Flairs, but we ain't going to ever get them.
I know. We'll never get even one more.
No. Miz just like, this poor guy. Like, you just can't be there with Flair.
No.
You're a second class citizen, or maybe fifth class. It's just like, sad. Flair was awesome here. Chopping Big E and then begging off was like the best thing I've ever seen, especially after throwing his jacket in it wrapped around the dude's head.
Yeah.
This is great. A great segment. By the way, Triple H, his fourth tweet ever. Hey, at Shawn Michaels, I just figured out how to follow you. Only took 3 days. Damn, I'm good. He's actually tweeted a fair amount. Unlike Vince, who's tweeted nothing.
Rock and Cena had a face-to-face. It's pretty boring, really.
Rock and Cena?
Yeah.
God damn, I thought this was great.
Yeah, no one cared. Maybe it's been
no one cared.
It may have been a dead crowd in Buffalo.
It's the only thing they cared about on the whole show.
Yeah. So Cena said, yeah, I told everyone I was going to win last year, and then I lost, and that made me look bad, and you wouldn't know anything about that because you've never known failure. And Rock said he liked Cena for the way he competed. He cared about competition more than anyone else except himself, and he was going to kick Cena's ass. And Cena quoted Mike Tyson, and Rock quoted Lance Armstrong. And he said, Lance is full of crap like you. So for the record, Rock, not a fan of those who use performance-enhancing drugs.
No.
And finally, Rock said, if you smell what the Rock is cooking. And they got 5 weeks.
I thought this was very good. I thought this was one of the best things the two of them have ever done together.
Now, like I say, the crowd was dead for everything all night. Perhaps that was perhaps that spoiled my interpretation of this. I thought it was. I liked Rock's comedy before Cena came out. We talked about going from the heat of Central America to the cold in Buffalo. That was funny, but other than that, it just felt like, well, a rerun, frankly.
That was comedy or a weather report?
Either way.
I will say this. Of things to get out of this segment.
I will say this. It was better than Jack Swagger versus Hacksaw Duggan. That actually happened, everyone. It was the next wrestling match. Jack Swagger, the World Heavyweight Championship contender at WrestleMania, did not get an entrance. Hacksaw came out with Sergeant Slaughter and Dusty Rhodes, and Swagger didn't want any of this bullshit, and he grabbed Hacksaw's 2x4 and beat him all up with it, and that was it. They were backstage, and Coulter was congratulating Swagger, and Aldo Rio attacked, and they had a brawl.
You don't seem enthused.
No. Primetime Players Wrestle Team Hill No, with DiBiase out there saying he would manage the Primetime Players if they won. They failed. Darren Young got pinned with a chokeslam. DiBiase pulled out a $100 bill, stuffed it in his mouth. He did his laugh, and he left. He got paid for this gig. That's awesome. And
well, he's paid to be there every day.
The highlight of this segment by miles and miles was after the end, as they are going back up the ramp. Brian slows down, and he makes sure Kane and DiBiase aren't looking at him, and he sneaks back down to ringside, and he retrieves the $100 bill. That was awesome.
Well, you make, Vinny. It's what you save.
That's right.
Which you should tell Zack Ryder next time he's going to buy new gear.
That is also right.
Save your money. What's his face? The new co-GM? Brad Maddox. Just keep using your beef Wellington trunks.
Yes.
Here in 2013 on Raw. Did you ever see that Randy Orton DVD? You did, right? We watched it here.
Yeah.
Randy Orton. Think about this, everybody. Randy Orton has made millions and millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. I believe his wife, her family has a lot of money. This guy's got enough money to last him the rest of his life, I would say. Maybe I'm wrong, but he should. But the point is, he has 3 pairs of trunks. That's it.
And really, they're all the same. There's black with blue trim.
That's right.
There's black with green trim. There's black with red trim.
Yeah.
So if he's wrestling, for example, Kane, he won't wear the red.
Yes.
He'll put on blue or black.
So you make everybody. That's what you save.
That's right. Brodus Clay and Tensai squashed Drew McIntyre and Heath Slater. Neither team actually made a tag. Then Honky Tonk was there to dance, and Heath hit a guitar shot, and Honky Tonk danced. And again, Honky Tonk Man got a payout for this. That is excellent.
Honky's one of those guys. They call him the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time, but obviously if you were around during that reign, it was a joke reign.
For more than a year.
Sure. But say what you will about Honky, and a lot of people have said a lot of things over the years, but you watch him in this segment, and this guy is a great pro wrestler. When he came out to sing his song, and Heath Slater ruined the party, you never seen a man look as sad as the Honky Tonk Man. He was so sad. And you knew that trouble was coming for Heath Slater at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, that's what happened. Good guys won. He got in there. They went to sing their song. Heath Slater interrupted again, and he got a guitar bonk on the head. I just thought Honky was like, that's the kind of stuff. A guy like the Honky Tonk Man, who, you know, he's kind of considered like, it's a Honky Tonk Man, you know, greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time, does a bunch of indie dates, that sort of thing. Honky knows this business. Honky is a great performer, and there's a reason Honky's still making money.
Yeah.
So don't knock the Honky Tonk Man.
He's making money without getting hurt.
Oh, yeah. It's all he's done for years.
Yes. I greatly admire the Honky Tonk Man. You mentioned, by the way, that a lot of people have said a lot of things about Honky Tonk Man. Terry Lawler on commentary said Honky didn't have any enemies in the world because he had outlived them all.
Yes.
Fantastic line. A Fandango promo aired.
Yeah.
Jerry Lawler said we had been, quote, waiting forever to see Fandango debut. He sounded more excited about it than I was. So scheduled to be Kofi Kingston versus Fandango. Fandango came out, said Dustin Roberts didn't say his name right. Roberts tried a few more times. Fandango left, and Jerry Lawler asked, how can this happen to us?
How can this happen to us?
I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer. Triple H came out for a promo.
This was boring.
Yeah, it was. He said Brock broke his arm, and he wasn't sure if he was going to come back, and then Vince got hurt, or Brock hurt Vince, and so that was his motivation to get back, because he wanted to get revenge on the guy who was just, A, his father-in-law, and B, the man who built this company, so he called Brock out, and that was it.
This got a depressing lack of reaction. As I noted in the update today, they figured this would be the biggest thing on the show, because Rock's there every week. Outside of The Undertaker, of course, but he was bumpering the show. So they figured this would be the biggest thing. That's why it took place at the top of the hour. And Rock and Cena went an hour earlier. They were wrong.
Shield cut a handheld video. The gist of this was they addressed the guys in the four-way to face Undertaker. And they said they ought to be concerned about who's going to be fighting the Shield. And they strongly hinted that the losers of the four-way would be facing the Shield at Mania.
Well,
and conveniently, they never mentioned CM Punk. Well?
A good guess.
Yeah. Wade Barrett versus Del Rio. There's nothing matched. Del Rio won with the arm breaker. Swagger came out to watch the match, and Del Rio did in a fight, and Swagger did not. Then Swagger was back. Swagger and Coulter cut a promo from the barn. They do not like political correctness. Colognes wrestle the New Age Outlaws, who may actually be the best tag team in the company right now.
I was thinking they could be a regular. Well,
I would watch this match every week. This would be an upgrade over a lot of what they do.
Well, luckily for you, I believe they will be wrestling Rhodes and Sandow on Raw this week.
Excellent.
That's the idea.
Road Dogg looks the same. Billy looks, to be perfectly honest, he looks like a balder, fatter version of himself, which is, in fact, what he is. But they had this match. They did their intro. Everyone loved the intro. Road Dogg looked great, frankly. It looked like it was 2000 all over again. And all Billy had to do was stand there and make the hot tag and make his comeback and throw the small dudes around and get the win with the Famaster. Great! This is great. Got touts of a bunch of fans marking out for Undertaker.
I don't think new fans are aware of the Fame Asser.
They may only know the Famouser, which is not the name.
No, it is a fame, like the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. Asser.
Like Mr. Ass.
Yeah, that was his gimmick. The Ass Man.
Yeah.
The Badass Billy Gunn. Mm-hmm. So his finish was the Fame Asser. I'm not making this up, everybody. This is history.
This is fact.
It's a fact. The Billy Gunn's finish was called the Fame Asser. Someone thought this was a good idea. Someone greenlit it.
Yeah. And it made TV. And we will never let them forget it.
No, it'll be the Fame Asser till the end of time.
Oh, Christ. Got touts of a bunch of fans marking out for The Undertaker. They were having Mae Young's birthday on stage with a bunch of candles, and perhaps 1 million cakes were out there. And Mean Gene came in, and he passed by the crew, and Damian Sandow's disgusted reaction to Mean Gene was great.
I love that Damian Sandow was out for the party.
Well, it's cake. So,
I guess you're right.
So the girls were helping Mae out on stage, and her old flame, Mark Henry, came over and kissed her on the cheek. That was sweet. That was so sweet. And then while they were singing happy birthday to her, Punk and Heyman interrupted and stormed right through the party for the match. And so we had the four-way. And Punk got hit with the Big Show knockout punch and disappeared. Or Heyman pulled him out of the ring before Show could pin him. So everyone else kept wrestling. And it finally turned into the parade of finishers where Sheamus hit the brogue kick on Show. Then he turned around and got RKO'd, and then Orton turned around and ate the go to sleep for the pin. So it is, in fact, CM Punk versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And Taker came out on stage and he had a stare down with Punk, and that was Raw.
And that was Raw, everybody. They still have 4 weeks.
They have 4 weeks.
I thought Raw and Cena was very good. The rest of the show was the rest of the show. Which leads us to this doo-wop song. Actually, no segue whatsoever, but.
I just woke up this minute.
You just woke up.
Yeah.
Baby, getting tired of you. Where else?
Yeah, and yeah, I don't know. I'm getting tired. Every week, I don't really care that much for it.
Groggy Granny is something else, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Did you listen to the Lance show today?
No, I haven't.
How about the Todd show?
No, didn't either one because...
How about the Dave show last night?
I haven't listened to any of those because...
How about the Brian and Vinny show on Tuesday? Did you listen to that one? Have you listened to any show at all this week?
Well, I listened to that for... I don't know what happened. I've been so busy. I worked outside, and then I went to the ball game to come on every night.
My
so,
God, her grandson has finally jumped the shark with her.
Well, you know what? Next step. Well, baby, getting
tired of you. I get
it. I'm sorry if I messed up the show, but...
She's getting tired of me.
I think we should play that song as background music whenever Granny is on.
Just in the background the whole time?
It wasn't even until like the very end where I realized they were saying I'm tired. But somehow just the song itself just fits. The music. The melody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Let's talk about this.
Alright. February 27th edition of NXT.
NXT.
There was a promo that was completely ruined by technological failures here, but I was able to see by the very end. It was Bo Dallas versus Conor O'Brien versus a third man who I later learned was Corey Graves. And a top contenders match was the main event of the show. Justin Gabriel versus Leo Kruger.
I had to do a lot of investigation during this match.
Yeah. I forget where I saw this, but I was looking at a magazine ad or an article or something recently, and for some reason, in big letters in this magazine ad was the scientific name of the lion, which is Panthera Leo Krugeri. So now you know where Leo Kruger got his name, everyone. He's named after the lion.
How about that?
That right there is more interesting and entertaining than anything that happened in this match.
Yeah, this match was...
That's not true. There was one moment. I forget the dude's name, but they've got the NXT announcer who knows shit about wrestling. And he's paired with William Regal. of all people.
Quite the duo.
It's an amazing contrast, such as when Leo Kruger hits a big clothesline and the announcer who doesn't know anything asks, quote, "That's a lariat, right?" And William Regal replies, "That's a lariat." So eventually, Gabriel won with the 450. Kruger hit him with Tyson Kidd's crutch. So I guess the feud continues or something.
Tyson Kidd has got an injured leg. Mm-hmm. And literally, he's got nothing to do but diet and work out. And he is shredded.
Yes.
On one leg, the poor guy.
Yeah. Oksana.
Oh, my.
Versus Emma.
Oh, my.
Where to begin?
Well, begin with Oksana's entrance, which was the highlight of the show.
Oksana's a lovely young lass. She's in the wrong business.
And what business should she be in, Vinny?
Modeling.
I see.
So Emma, a student and graduate of Lance Storm's training school, she was described by the announcer as self-absorbed and awkward.
Yeah. The gimmick is that she's awkward.
She's a dork.
A what?
A dork.
There's that word again. Go on.
She has a awkward dance. It is, in fact, an awkward dance. That is true. So, they're having this match, and it's not very good. And Emma gets whipped in the turnbuckles, and she can't take a corner very well, but she was soon undone because shortly after that, Oksana tried to threaten her by holding a fist in her face.
Mm.
Oksana cannot make a fist. She...
Thumb inside?
She... Thumb was outside, but it's like she was... Well, she's trying to hold
it
up.
Is it the fist from Robot Combat League?
Thumb was outside, but it was... Yeah. When you're making a fist to threaten somebody, you kind of hold it, you know, sternly in front of you and kind of leaning in, if
anything.
This
is when I need a webcam. Yeah. Please show me how you hold your fist when you're trying to intimidate someone.
Like this. You shake it at someone. Oh. She was going like that.
I almost peed myself right there. I was so intimidated. Video.
Yes. That's better than Oksana's.
Well, that's true.
She held up her fist, everyone, in a manner you would never use if you wanted to intimidate or let alone strike somebody.
Well,
if
maybe
she had thrown a strike with her fist in this position, her hand may have fallen off. So it continues to not be good.
They proceeded to have a terrible match.
The announcer was no better than the wrestlers because Emma hit a snap mirror at one point, and she hits this move, and suddenly the announcer, who knows nothing about wrestling, screams, "Here's Emma!"
After a snap mirror.
A snap mirror, followed by a chin lock. So Emma was doing some wacky dancing, and Oksana pinned her with a spine buster, and that was it.
Lance Storm School of Dance, open now.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was a very, very, to be fair, Lance, if you're listening, 99% of this was Oksana's fault.
She was definitely the worst of the two.
However, it does, in fact, take two to tango. Luckily, Emma's gimmick is that she's poor at the tango. So that's her excuse. But yeah, this was no good.
The announcer, who doesn't know shit about wrestling, very awkwardly threw it backstage where...
Oh my God, this throw backstage. Literally, they're like, the match is over. Oksana and Emma. And maybe he's shell-shocked. But he's like... And I'm going to try... Sometimes I try really hard to be... as unexciting as the announcer. Like, I just am overflowing with such natural charisma that I cannot tone myself down, but I'll try. He says, "I'm receiving word that we've got something going backstage, so let's go back there." Failed, didn't I?
In many ways.
I tried.
It was not just the lack of enthusiasm. It was the complete lack of preparation for this man whose specialty is supposed to be in being just a good television presence.
Well, the idea was that something's happening backstage. We got to go back there to find out.
Yeah. Except but, what came out of his mouth was something is happening backstage. Let's go back there and find out. Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's better than mine.
Oh, thank you.
So then they went back to a blonde who had no idea what she was doing for the most part. And she said, Bo Dallas is down. He appears to be hurt. You don't say. I don't know more, she says. We're going to have the doctors look at him. Thank you for the breaking audio right there. A poor segment.
Speaking of poor segments.
So, by the way, that means Bo Dallas is laid out.
Yeah. He's out of the main event. So instead of a triple threat, we had a heel versus heel main event of Corey Graves versus Conor O'Brien in a match that went through two commercial breaks.
Which, by the way, on Hulu, you cannot fast forward through.
Yeah. And
at least with any ease.
There are commercial breaks in WWE matches all the time. And to make sure you stay tuned, they will do a high spot before the break. The babyface had a big drop kick, or the babyface got cut off before the heat. Can Rey Mysterio survive in this match? Come back and find out.
Dive outside
the ring. Something exciting. Something that grabs your attention. In this match, right before they go to a commercial, one dude hit a nerve pinch.
Hell of a nerve pinch.
I guess so.
He'd seen one like this in this century.
So they wrestled.
They didn't. They did a bunch of holds for a long-ass time.
He laid there, and they laid there, and they laid there. There was exactly one human being in the world who cared about this. She was screaming her head off. And then finally, the lights went out, and they came back on. The Shield was in the ring, beating up both dudes.
What a pop.
Yeah. Oh, far and away.
These fans went nuts for the Shield.
Yes.
Which, keep in mind, about 6 months ago, the Shield were just dudes on NXT.
Yes.
But then they went to WWE and they beat everybody and they never lose. And they come back and they're gods in this building. It's actually amazing to watch.
Yeah. You know, I once had a match with Mr. Sexy. And
what a gimmick, by the way.
It fell apart.
The gimmick or the match?
Well, both, perhaps, but certainly the match.
How did that match possibly fall apart?
Well, I'll tell you. He attempted, and in hindsight, I should have put a stop to this as soon as he suggested the idea. He attempted to take a flip bump off a clothesline. And I didn't realize this at the time, but he landed right on his head. Basically knocked himself out. And so I was trying to get him to the finish. I should have just, when I realized later how messed up he was, and things utterly collapsed, and I should have just pinned him or something. But no, I was trying to actually have him win with his move. So finally, Tim could take no more, and he sent Chef and Avalanche out to kick our asses. So
did he engage with chairs?
No, I don't think. They just beat our asses, sent us to the back, and that was it. So
got it easy.
True. Point here, I would like to think that the Shield, whose whole gimmick is that they are righting wrongs in the wrestling business, I'd like to think they came out here to kick these guys' asses because they're having a shitty match.
Yeah. Tell some Sterling James Keenan facts.
Oh, I have to look them up. I didn't write too many of them down. Sterling James Keenan is now known as Corey Graves. That's one I remember. I do remember that he, in like 2005, I'll look it up real quick. On April 26, 2006, Keenan and CM Punk lost a dark match to The Gemini.
The Gemini.
Prior to the SmackDown taping.
Yeah, there's a where are they now. CM Punk, longest reigning champion of the modern era. No idea where the Gemini are. And Sterling James Keenan, unfortunately for him, is a indie version of CM Punk, and they already have a CM Punk.
And he's pretty good. They don't need to replace the CM Punk they have.
Yeah, it's tough to be another CM Punk.
Sterling James Keenan has been wrestling for 10 years. He has many tattoos, including the words "Stay Down" across his knuckles. Says this man with "Stay Down" across his knuckles has a degree in marketing.
Really?
Yeah.
Gotta say that Sterling James Keenan, first off, where the hell did that name came from?
That's in here.
But his new gimmick of Corey Graves, this man looks exactly like a Corey Graves. Exactly. I mean, I haven't seen a name that fit a wrestler better since I don't even know when. He is a perfect Corey Graves. But again, he is a NXT version of CM Punk, and they already have one CM Punk, And I don't know how that bodes for him, but I guess we'll see.
On August 23rd, 2007, for Far North Wrestling, he defeated Samoa Joe and Rikishi by countout to win the Ballpark Brawl Natural Heavyweight title.
Natural?
That's what it says.
So, wait a second. So they drug tested up and down the card?
Well, apparently these three men. Samoa Joe, Rikishi, and Sterling James Keenan. His name, Brian, the first name comes from Sterling Sharp, who is his favorite football player. And the last
was named for the English currency.
The sterling?
Yeah. Honest to God, that's what I thought for years.
I would be fine. And his last two names come from Maynard James Keenan of the band Tool.
How about that?
Wikipedia is full of info today.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
So where's he from?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Really?
He's not English.
It's funny how that works. All these years when I saw Sterling James Keenan, that name,
mm-hmm.
when I saw Sterling, I immediately thought of the English currency, and so I presumed he was from the UK.
Sterling James Keenan sounds like an English name.
Yeah.
It really does.
How about that? I never knew that. You learn something new every day.
He has wrestled in the UK.
Well, that makes sense.
He beat D'Lo Brown.
Like a lot or a little? Just a tour here and there?
One pro wrestling 2005 to 2009. He challenged Romeo Rosselli for the New Wrestling Evolution heavyweight title. Defended the championship against Doug Williams and Martin Stone, Darren Burge, and Abyss. He retained the title against Raven. Later, he appeared on the August 10th, 2007 episode of SmackDown where he was easily squashed by Mark Henry.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
That's the end of the show.
Oh, that's right.
Nothing else going on.
Yeah, the Shield run-in was, that saved the show. Fans were super into these guys. And it just goes to show, don't lose. You know?
I know.
I expect them actually to win at WrestleMania, believe it or not.
I would be stunned if they didn't.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far. That's a show where guys get beat. But I expect them to win. And I expect that to lead to a Randy Orton heel turn. Yes, everyone, it's still coming. It's still coming. All right, let's play one last song, my friends, and then we'll wrap this baby up. Let's see what we got over here. This is from, I don't know who this is from, but let's play it. This is when back we were doing a contest, best doo-wop song for a prize. Let's play this. Best, the best song somebody can create with a doo-wop theme.
We should think up of another contest.
D-O-O-W-O-P.
D-O-O-O-P.
How about that? Dupe! Dupe.
I want to go to a record store. Yes, do you have any dupe music?
How do you spell that?
She cackles. What a troll.
I think I might be tired because dupe. And when I look, the moon
is there to go. Dupe.
Now I'm no longer alone. Without a dream in my heart. Without a love of my own.
Should we call it a day?
We may as well, because Impact, the report is not going to top dupe. D-O-O-O-P.
And they send it to me.
No, me.
Brian Vinny Show, : dupe.
There you go, everybody. Oh, Granny.
What a show.
Granny's back on Thursday, everybody. If you're a freeloader, You're missing out. Every Thursday, we're doing contests now. Gave away a $50 WWE prize pack last week and some cash prizes as well. And we're going to come up with a new contest. It's coming Thursday. It's going to be a good one. Got a lot of good stuff. So anyway, we're going to wrap it up. Had RJ Brewer on earlier today. Make sure you check that out. Steve Sims is on tomorrow. We'll have a new Wrestling Observer Radio. Obviously, a new Observer Radio tonight, talking about Paul Bearer. And what else do we got coming up? Thursday, Brian and Vinny Show, Todd Martin Show. Friday, Larry Matisick talking his book, The 50 Greatest Wrestlers of All Time. New back issue of The Observer up at any time. New Observers, Figure 4s. Anyway, we're going to wrap it up. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Bye.